to our next featured presentation from Cynthia Rosenzweig. Cynthia is a senior research scientist at the NASA Goddard Institute for Space Studies, where she heads the Climate Impacts Group. She recently co-chaired the New York City Panel on Climate Change, a body of experts convened by the mayor to advise on the city on adaptation for its critical infrastructure. She co-led the Metropolitan East Coast Regional Assessment of the U.S. National Assessment of Potential Consequences of Climate Variability and Change. She was a coordinating lead author of the IPCC Working Group 2 Fourth Assessment Report. She's also the co-editor of the Urban Climate Change Research Network's First Assessment Report on Climate Change in Cities, which she'll be talking about a bit today in her presentation. That assessment is the first ever interdisciplinary and cross-regional science-based assessment to address climate risks, adaptation, mitigation, and policy relevant to cities. She was named as one of Nature's top 10 people who mattered in 2012 by the science journal Nature, and she's also a recipient of the Guggenheim Fellowship, and she's also a professor at Columbia University's Institute, Earth Institute. So with that, Cynthia, I will turn it over to you for your presentation. Thank you.
Hi, Cynthia. This is Wendy. Do you see the drop-down menu on your screen? There we go. Perfect. Looks like we can see your browser right now.
You may also be on mute.
Yes. Okay. Hi. What do I need to do to start it?
So if you can just pull up your presentation.
So I show my screen?
Yep. I think we're already seeing your screen.
Okay. And how do I get to see it?
If you can just pull up your PowerPoint presentation on your computer.
Oh, okay. Got it. Okay. And you're going to advance it?
No, you'll be in control of the slides.
Okay, so, I'm not sure. I'm very sorry. I don't think this is working.
Yes, we can see it. You can see PowerPoint now, so if you just put it into full screen mode now.
All right, hold on. No, I'm sorry, I don't see it.
So,
let's see. Sorry, it's not on my screen.
Okay,
I have a copy of it ready, so will you advance it for me? Is that possible?
Sure, just one second.
Okay, let's do that. So the NASA person is challenged technologically. Sorry. Great. Okay, so are you ready?
Just one second.
Okay.
Can you see it now?
Hold on. No, but that's okay. I'll advance the slides, okay? I think this will work if everyone can see it. So
okay,
let's,
just let me know when I should
start?
Advance the slide.
Okay, great. Sorry. So I'm very happy to be on the webinar today sharing some experiences in New York City and in also cities around the world in adaptation planning. So the next slide. This is a schematic of the New York City adaptation process that started in 2008, emphasizing some of the key elements. The first is leadership, and in New York, Mayor Bloomberg is a very strong leader in emphasizing to the residents of not only New York City but the region how important it is to prepare for a changing climate. Then within the city administration, there is an Office of Long-Term Planning and Sustainability, which performs the very important role of coordination on climate change adaptation planning. So that's another key element. Then on the bottom left-hand side, the various agencies who are responsible, this is focused on infrastructure planning, then got together and were part of a climate change adaptation task force across energy, transportation, water and waste, and communication systems. And then finally, the other last part of the process has to do with the climate information and the climate risk information. So the mayor convened a panel of experts, but now with the National Climate Assessment now being presented in draft form, in which will be coming online, basically every community around and region around the country will have climate risk information that they can use in their process. So the next slide, please, is this is about creating an approach that can be shared and communicated, as Kara was saying. And this is one of the ones that we present, the main one we presented in New York, which is presenting these issues of climate adaptation and climate risk as a risk management issue, and then developing flexible adaptation pathways over time. And what this slide is showing is the blue wavy line is an acceptable level of risk that the people in the region have, and that if we just do very rigid and one-time things, we will cross those levels of risk. That's the blue and the orange line. But that really we have to be acting both in adaptation and mitigation, the yellow and green wavy lines, over time to maintain our systems below the acceptable level of risk. And the key part also is because climate is changing and climate conditions are changing, that monitoring and reassessing the climate risks and the adaptations and the efficacy of the adaptations need to be part of the program. Next slide, please. So what we did in New York was we created a set of information and tools. We did foundation reports with background knowledge, brought forward best practices, provided resource guide, and then specifically made some workbooks for stakeholders which showed the climate risk information for the region, how an adaptation process could go forward, and then also began to raise issues of climate protection levels or the potential for changes in standards and regulations in the local areas. And we tried to provide the projections of the risks in very user-friendly form, such as in tear sheets, as are shown in the bottom. Next slide, please. And what this is about how we actually handled the uncertainties at the very first stage of the adaptation process, which is we did use global climate models to downscale for the region, but we also used a lot of local climate information as well. What are the observed data showing? Start with where we are is very important. And then when the climate model projections are robust enough, we can use those in a quantitative way. But also there's qualitative statements that can be made as well that can help develop the first set of climate risk factors for any given region, which are the real way to get going. These are identifying the most important climate hazards for the region. So in New York, they are warmer temperatures in many places, I think, around the country. Certainly warmer temperatures, more frequent and intense heat waves. There's also heavier downpours is another one. And then for coastal areas, sea level rise and coastal flooding. Next slide. This is the adaptation process that was followed in the New York region, and there's lots of variations on this. And basically, I think each community and municipality can develop their own. But basically, these are the elements of an adaptation process: to identify the current and future hazards, conduct an inventory of the vulnerabilities, so that those can be identified, the infrastructure assets, characterizing the risks of the putting together the climate hazards and that inventory to say, well, what are the risks and what are the most important risks? There could be many, there are many, but prioritizing on just several is probably a good place to go. And then developing initial list of strategies, identifying opportunities for coordination, very important so that we don't get siloed in our responses. And then prepare and implement resilient plans. And then don't forget number 8, monitor and reassess. That has to be built in from the beginning so we can learn as we go. Next slide. So with adaptation, there's a lot of different parts to it. And it can be, it can be very fine-grained, but what should we do for this bridge or this roadbed or this train station? But I think it's always good to frame at the beginning of the process with the, first of all, what are the goals? To reduce the level of physical, social, and economic impacts of climate, and to take advantage of new opportunities if there are. So it's good to think about different types of adaptation in terms of, there's lots that can be done just in management and operations today. In New York, we always give the example of clean the drains before the snowstorms on the roads. And in fact, now the crews are out doing that whenever there's projections of, whenever we have weather forecasts of storms, and that's very, very helpful and has already we're having less road flooding with our intense precipitation events. Of course, there's much larger and more expensive physical components of infrastructure that what we say there is to use the cycle of the capital cycle for the repairs as those come in. And then, of course, policies such as the standards and regulations. And these adaptation actions can be done by different groups, of course, both public organizations, local, municipal, county, state, and national. But also then some of the private sector as well. And then there's varying levels of effort. Look, I think it's very important. It was very important in New York to develop some incremental actions that can be taken right away, while the planning for large shifts can get going. And that's another thing very much to think about, to match the length of time, for example, of infrastructure and the adaptation. Short term, less than 5 years, that's really the climate variability of today. Medium term and long term, then those are beginning to get into where the projections are starting. As always, we do need to be prepared for abrupt changes too, though, in terms of tipping points, policy triggers, as we, for example, are experiencing in New York City with the recovery from Hurricane Sandy right now, and I'm going to talk about that in a few moments. Next slide. In fact, here's the next slide. It's a tipping point for the response to Hurricane Sandy is being a tipping point for responding to changing climate risks. So just a very brief recap of the storm. That on the science side, it was well forecast in advance. And this is a great sort of lesson about, well, you know, the science of our extreme events of today is certainly improving, and it is also improving in the future as well. Next slide, please. And so it's not only the climate part of the storm that was forecast. Well, actually, from the work that has been done in, for example, in the first National Climate Assessment and following on from that, the impacts of the extreme event, of the hurricane here, were also well forecast. And we really see it's from over 10 years ago, that the issues of both the vulnerable communities and the interdependent critical infrastructure systems have been highlighted in the report. And this is another thing I think that's very important as we have now we have the National Climate Assessment and the regional work, so that we have this foundation of the knowledge, both of the science and of the impacts. The next one. And so what we're doing in New York is linking Hurricane Sandy to climate risk responses. There were some actions already, so that green streets, vegetation, absorbing stormwater had been put in place, getting advanced LIDAR data for helping on the coastal, characterize the coastal risk, incorporating sea level rise into the comprehensive waterfront plan, and there had been already enhanced emergency response and preparedness programs, which actually then contributed to the evacuation during Hurricane Sandy. What's happening now is that post-Sandy, these efforts are being intensified. So it's really important that we start ahead of time, have plans and information foundation knowledge in place, so that, you know, when these terrible events, and we hope that they will be avoided in all your communities across the country, but they do happen, and that then we're ready to intensify efforts afterwards. So in just concluding, I have three more slides. This is the conclusion on the New York part, and then I just want to just end with telling a little bit more about cities around the world. So there are lots of adaptation process examples. We've seen some on the first two presentations. But basically, this basic process of what was done in New York is available, and many, and others are too. So that it's these things don't have to be invented by from scratch anymore. That there's lots of material, including what we did in New York, and we're very happy to share with what worked for us and what didn't work too. Response actions are already underway in New York City and did help to reduce the damages from Hurricane Sandy. We recommend a portfolio approach of adaptation to have climate risk management occur in operations and management on a day-to-day basis, infrastructure planning on the longer term, and then addressing policy issues in terms of beginning to scope include increase in climate risk into standards and regulations. And then finally, not to forget the mitigation part of climate change, that really to create robust and resilient communities, we need to do both, adapting to the current climate extremes, preparing for those increasing climate risks, but also interactively mitigating as well with reduction of greenhouse gases so that the ultimate level and rate of change and magnitude of the risks are minimized through mitigation. So that's on the New York City side. Just want to Emma asked us to ask me to just end with saying that what we found in New York, that as New York and Seattle and some of the other cities around the country have been first responders. We are finding this all over the world, that cities are emerging as first responders to climate change, both on the mitigation side and the adaptation side. This slide is showing the planned cuts in greenhouse gas emissions for cities around the globe that they have voluntarily, with ICLEI and other groups, agreed to set targets and timetables among themselves. So that's a very exciting finding, that these communities, state and local levels, are really an important level of governance for the actual pragmatic responses, and they are emerging as adaptive as first responders in adaptation as well. The final content slide is that what we've done on the research side is create with researchers from cities all over the world, a lot in U.S. but a lot elsewhere as well, an urban climate change research network, so that we are creating a foundation knowledge and assessment process similar to the IPCC and the National Climate Assessment, but for cities around the world. And we're working on the second one right now, we will be hoping to share that the knowledge that comes from that, seeing what other cities are doing, not only in the United States, but from cities around the world. And with that, the next slide is the references and the links. And it was great to be able to share the New York experience and some experiences from cities around the world with you today. Thank you.
Thank you, Cynthia. The New York example is a great illustration of the opportunity for framing the adaptation issue around preparedness, as Kara highlighted. And the connections that you made between mitigation and adaptation are really excellent, and thank you for sharing those with us. So before we move into our next presentation, we have one more poll question for you. Which of the following factors is a primary motivation for your community or organization to pursue adaptation? So if you could just take a moment and let us know what motivators are important to you. All right, if we could pull up the results. All right, and I think we may have expected this these results, but currently experiencing the impacts of climate change has come across as one of the strongest motivators for adaptation efforts, and I think you'll hear from the speakers that we have on the line today that that is really what resonates with folks in communities across the country and can really build stakeholder support. And being a leader among our peer entities is also in second place, which I think is also very important. As you heard Cynthia emphasize, that cities are really emerging as leaders on the forefront of adaptation, and so that's something I think that's reflected in these results. So thank you for your